Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all doing?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So first things first, what did you make of conference championship weekend? And what do you think about the Super Bowl matchup? We've got Kansas City and Philadelphia, the number one seeds from both conferences, making it to the Super Bowl.
I think that we had one really, really good game and one total absolute clunker of a game, which I am so upset about because I thought those were two of the best rosters in the NFL between the 49ers and the Eagles, and I thought this is what it's supposed to be. This is what conference championship weekend is supposed to be. Is it goes down to the wire and there's drama and it's close and it's a nail biter, and you know, poor Brock Purdy and his elbow injury totally ruined that, and I am sad about that. And then I look at the AFC championship game, and not that the NFC championship game is excused from this either, but I think the officiating in the AFC championship game really was disappointing. And I'm not going to say that the NFL is rigged because I know that it's not, and I just cannot live in a world where the NFL is rigged, and I don't think it is. But I think that some of the calls over the weekend were so egregious that it really couldn't lead you to any other explanation other than, okay, this is so bad, so how could it not be rigged? How could there not be some sort of ulterior motive? It just seems like every call was very anti-Bengal. And I didn't like that. I think that that game, and we all as football fans, deserved overtime. You know, I look at that extra third down call. What are we doing there? You know, the Joseph Asai push out of bounds, I had no problem with that. You know, that was unnecessary roughness. That was a push in the quarterback outside of bounds. So, you know, there were good calls. There were some bad calls. I think overall, though, you know, we can nitpick the injuries. We can nitpick some of the calls. Overall, I think that we have two of the best, if not the two best teams in the NFL going to the Super Bowl. And I think it's a really interesting dichotomy looking at these two teams going into the Super Bowl. You look at the quarterback situation. Patrick Mahomes is probably one of the best, if not the best, if he did not just show us on Sunday that he is the best quarterback in the league, versus Jalen Hurts, who is a fine quarterback who can make fine plays. He's not elite. He's not a top five quarterback in the league. He's a quarterback that I didn't know if he was going to have a job at the end of this year. And obviously he does. His job is secure. So you're looking at the difference in quarterback situations. You're looking at the difference in paths of these two teams. You know, the Eagles, and I mean this with all due respect, if you look at their playoff path, it's been fairly easy. You know, we've seen a lot more Gardner Minshew than I ever expected in the playoffs because they blow out the Giants and then they blow out the 49ers. And you look at the Chiefs, who have really had to battle their way to the Super Bowl. I know they've each had the bye, but these last 2 weeks for both of these teams have been completely different. You know, Kansas City is battered and injured. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, bothered by that ankle in the AFC Championship game. And then you look at the Eagles that have a complete clean bill of health and have been able to kind of, you know, keep their foot off the gas a little bit over the next couple of weeks. So these teams are coming into the Super Bowl in a very, very different state, but I think it's going to be two really good teams.
So, Caroline, anything from the weekend that you would relate to the Titans? In other words, you know, I think a lot of times we look at the Final Four, or even the Final Two, and it's like, see, this is how you build a team, or this is the way trends are going. When you look at all that has unfolded in this postseason, how do you tie that to the Titans and what they should do moving forward?
Yeah, I think that you can look at both quarterback situations. You can look at Jalen Hurts and say, okay, well, that can be a blueprint for the Titans with Ryan Tannehill. Because I look at Jalen Hurts and he has, you know, a wonderful ability. But I don't look at Jalen Hurts like he is some sort of elite quarterback that's leaps and bounds ahead of Ryan Tannehill. But I think if you have a quarterback like that, the Eagles are the blueprint of how you get to the Super Bowl without an elite quarterback. And that is, to use Mike Vrabel's words, being great around that quarterback, having elite receivers. I mean, the Eagles have one of the top offensive lines in the country. They have a great pass rush, a solid run game. They all around are good around Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts doesn't have to be Superman. If you ask Jalen Hurts to be Superman, if you ask Ryan Tannehill to be Superman, you're not going to be successful. And then you can look at the Chiefs' path. You know, they traded Tyreek Hill, and now they're still in the Super Bowl because they have Patrick Mahomes. You know, some of their leading receivers were injured and out of the AFC Championship, and they still won that game because of Patrick Mahomes. You know, I don't think pieces around Kansas City. I mean, Chris Jones had a very, very solid day, but I don't look at Chris Jones to be an elite pass rusher or like an Aaron Donald type. I think that team is totally elevated by Patrick Mahomes. So if the Titans decide to go down that route, you need that elite quarterback. You need that Patrick Mahomes. And that doesn't come around very frequently. The two quarterback paths that you're looking at, I think the most obvious thing for me over the weekend was looking at the difference in offensive lines. You know, it seemed like Joe Burrow in the first half, every single snap he was on the ground because that offensive line couldn't protect him. And then you look at the dichotomy between the Bengals and the Eagles, and that Eagles offensive line can keep Jalen Hurts upright all day. They're able to block for that run game to run for almost 150 yards against a really good San Francisco defensive front. So you look at the teams that have been successful and the teams that have been unsuccessful via offensive line, and I think that makes the difference once you get to this level. So that's why, I mean, the offensive line has been a priority of mine for this team all off season long, really all season long, ever since they didn't address right tackle over the summer this past year. But I think that's even more glaringly obvious over the weekend, as teams with good offensive lines can just make that much of a difference.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Caroline, to that point, forget about what you think the Titans will do. Caroline Fenton in the general manager's chair, what would you do to address quarterback this offseason if you were the one in charge making the decision?
My biggest question is, if not Tannehill, then who? Look at the free agent market. Tom Brady is the only obvious improvement. You know, look at Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, those quarterbacks, to me, don't make the Tennessee Titans better. If you go that route, you may as well just hold on to Ryan Tannehill and avoid that massive cap hit that you would have to pay if you did move on from Ryan Tannehill. And then you look at the draft. You know, I'm not a draft guru. I think that Bryce Young was the best quarterback in college football, but looking at some of his obvious disadvantages that he would have in the league just with his size, you know, are you willing to make that risk? C.J. Stroud, he is a fine quarterback. And you look at Will Levis. I don't really understand the first-round hype for Will Levis, but again, I'm not a draft guru. But the next question is there a quarterback in this year's draft that you view to be the future of your franchise? If so, you do whatever you can to get that guy. If you need to pull a 49ers with Trey Lance and trade three first-round picks because you truly believe that the future of your franchise can be built around this guy, then you go for it. If you don't see any of those guys in this year's draft, stay at 11, grab a tackle, grab a receiver, grab whatever you need, because there are several holes that this team has in the offseason, then you get that. I just don't know if there is a quarterback in the draft and free agency that is going to be, one, worth your while to give up the picks to get, or two, is an obvious upgrade from Ryan Tannehill and makes your team a better team in the long run.
So I'm going to ask you the question you asked Jared and me last week, Caroline. Who is going to be the Titans quarterback next year? You have to push all your chips on the table. This is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans in 2023.
Well, I answered this question last week, and I said Trey Lance, and so obviously that has changed. I don't think Trey Lance is going anywhere, especially considering Brock Purdy's injury. So if no Trey Lance, I think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. I really do. And I know that that's not a really fun response. I know that saying Tom Brady, or I know that saying C.J. Stroud is a much more exciting and fun possibility, but I think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. I do think ultimately the Titans decide to go with a tackle or a receiver. With the 11th pick, they run it back with Ryan Tannehill. And in 2024, you have a new starting quarterback, whether that's via free agency, whether that's via trade, or whether that's via the draft. And I know that you might be thinking if Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback in 2023, you're not going to be bad enough to be picking at the top of the draft to get a quarterback. I get that. I understand that notion. But I'm not going to worry about the 2024 draft before the 2023 season has even started.
Caroline, last thing for you here. Rand Carthon, as you mentioned, has a lot of holes to fix on this Titans team. In your mind, what do you think he will be able to fix faster, the offensive line or the wide receiving core?
I think it's the wide receiving core because they've already started. you know, it seems with the offensive line, you bring back Nate Davis, and then Ben Jones is kind of a question mark. You have 3 to 4 holes that you need to fill in the offseason, and that's not easy to do. It's not easy to find, you know, really solid elite left tackles and then also find guards to fill in as well. I think that with the wide receiver position, you see some promise in Treylon Burks, and he can continue to be part of your wide receiver core moving forward. You really only need one more guy to fill in. I know you're not done with the wide receiver core, but you'd feel a whole lot better if you find just one more guy. If you find your burner speedster guy to put alongside next to Treylon Burks to kind of be your big bully guy. And I think that already elevates your wide receiver core immensely. You find a left tackle in the first round, and you still have a whole lot of work to do on the offensive line. And so I would say probably the wide receiver core.
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check her out every day on 102.5 The Game from 11 to 2. And, of course, every Tuesday morning on this program at 7 o'clock. Caroline, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
You as well. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Your reaction to what Caroline had to say there. And also, what in the world are the Indianapolis Colts doing with their head coaching search? It continues to mystify me on a daily basis. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electricals. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for joining us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Weston, who wants to weigh in. Weston, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Just wanted to weigh in some thoughts here with the possible quarterback situation for the Titans. And looking back in history of the NFL, one of the best quarterbacks to ever come through by this time, waited for his moment, was Kurt Warner, one of the best passers in the league, one of the best quarterbacks. I mean, went to 3 Super Bowls. And I say all of that to say this. You look at Geno Smith this past year in Seattle, who didn't really have a whole lot around him and still put up 30 passing touchdowns and still did really well with the Seattle Seahawks. I say that to say this is what we need to do is stop worrying about looking to greener pastures and worrying about fixing the offensive line, fixing the receiving core, and focus on the key areas we need to fix and then get our quarterback in the next couple of years. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Weston. Joe, what do you make of the Geno Smith comparison there? You know, obviously he got drafted, did not go well the early part of his career. You know, anytime, especially at that time, you were with the Jets, things typically did not go well. He was awesome this past year in Seattle. So Weston's point of view is fix everything around the quarterback, let Ryan Tannehill do his thing, and find your quarterback of the future down the road in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say, in terms of Geno Smith, the receivers in Seattle, that's decent. That's decent support for a quarterback.
Pretty good.
And Kenneth Walker, I think, who did he win Rookie of the Year? Have they announced that? I'm not even sure, but I think he's good chance to win Rookie of the Year, and he's going to be a really good back next year. So it's not like Geno Smith didn't have good things around him. But look, that's the thing. It's like what Caroline laid out there. It's like you can look at the Eagles. And they're a great example. I mean, Hurts is a second-round pick, right? He was second round. He wasn't the end of the first round. He was second round.
He's
right?
Second round. Yeah.
Second-round pick. And I agree. I mean, first of all, Jalen Hurts, just on his own, is absolutely better than I thought he'd be in the NFL. It's a little bit different because Josh Allen, I mean, he had to see this while he was a pro. But I was certain that Josh Allen was one thing early in his career, and he became a much better thing. He improved. It is possible to improve, even at quarterback. Like, I've always thought about quarterbacking and accuracy just like jump shooting. Like, whatever you have at a certain age is what it is. But, like, Jalen Hurts has gotten better and better. And I think, frankly, when he went to Oklahoma especially, you know, he took a big jump from when he was at Alabama. Now, I think he's really good. But I agree. I don't think he's going to be in the absolute top group of quarterbacks, but that team might win it all. I mean, look around the league. There's plenty of stories around this league. Kurt Warner is a great example, but, you know, Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. Whatever you think about Kirk Cousins, you know, he's well exceeded his expectations, and he's a good NFL quarterback. He's not great, but as a guy who, if you're good around that, a quarterback of that quality, you can do good things. I mean, how many other good players? I mean, Dak Prescott, and I know right now he's not a guy, you know, I mean, people are down on him in Dallas, but there's another guy who's way exceeded his profile. I mean, there's plenty of other examples in this league of, you know, Brock Purdy may be one of them moving forward, like an extreme example of you don't have to have a top five pick to have a good quarterback situation. Lamar Jackson, another example.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think you're right. Like this is a case study on what to do to build a team. Now, look, I think the Eagles are kind of an extreme example because they have not only a good offensive line, I think they have the best offensive line in football. They have a good back that nobody ever talks about in Miles Sanders, who I think is really good. They have a quarterback that just set an NFL record with his 15th rushing touchdown combined regular season postseason in the history of the league. And they have two guys on the outside in A.J. Brown, who is a top five wide receiver by the yards this year and by the numbers, and Devontae Smith, who I think is really good. Like, they're not only really good around their quarterback, they're elite around their quarterback in a lot of positions. Miles Sanders, not an elite running back. He's really darn good at running back. Oh, yeah. So they're taking Gainwell's being good around the – oh, yeah. I mean, they're taking being good around the quarterback to kind of an extreme level that's really hard to do. And, look, I don't want to take anything away from Jalen Hurts. Like, he's been really good this year. Now, that when you have all that help around you, obviously that helps. But I've been really impressed with – his ability to throw the ball deep this year. I just think he's played really well. So it is, you know, there's one side of things that says, to Weston's point, you know, you've got Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and you go find your elite level quarterback, and that's what it's going to take to compete, especially in the AFC. And then there's the Eagles side of things where I think Jalen Hurts is really, really, really good. I also think he's got a lot of really, really, really good pieces around him. And that's the way that they've built their team. Which path does it make more sense for the Titans to try to do? I think both paths are hard to execute. I think, as we know, Joe, it's really hard to find that elite level quarterback. Otherwise, everybody would have one.
Well, the Titans organization has had several cracks at it.
Yeah.
They're a great example of how hard it is, you know? So I mean, I think they're already on. I mean, they're already on the other path until they decide, okay, it's time to try and take a big swing and one way or the other get to one of those top of the draft quarterbacks. They took a flyer on one last again, you know, Malik Willis, who, by the way, you know, I haven't foreseen the entire future of his career, but there was an example of sometimes those work out, second, third, fourth round flyer, and yep. you catch lightning in a bottle. Jared has awakened, or maybe Jared has put aside studying the cap for a few minutes and texts me. This is Jared, quote, Jalen Hurts was really good throwing for those 121 yards and missing wide receivers by 10 yards Sunday. Hurts is in the same class as Tannehill. Put Tannehill on that team and he'll make the Pro Bowl tool. I've seen it and so have you. So I'm not necessarily like I think Tannehill now. What they do with that offense, heavy QB run offense.
Yeah, that part's different.
Yeah, it's different. But, I mean, in general, I agree with the second part. But I'd like to – this is where we're picking and choosing. First of all, if you watch Jalen Hurts this year, there were games he won, too, because he was tremendous. Also, You know, one thing that we haven't discussed, maybe it's been discussed elsewhere. Like, does Joe Burrow get any criticism for the picks he threw the other day? Like, does Joe, I mean, I feel for him because his offensive line gave him no protection. But, you know, it's like we decided that these quarterbacks are amazing over here. So we overlook when they make devastating mistakes. And then someone like Hurts, look, Hurts had AJ Brown for a like 70-yard touchdown. Got to
Yeah.
him, you know, the other day without
Well,
question.
Joe Burrow's
He's
first
not
pick was awful.
right. I mean, so you know, Hurts not perfect, didn't have a great game. He's been really good this year. Burrow is great, but yeah, I think Joe Burrow, because we're so fixated on the officiating and all these other things, I mean, you need better from him in that situation. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, no. I mean, look, the first pick, if you go back and watch it, I mean, he's of all the times he was under duress, he actually had some time to throw that one, and it was just a bad throw. Like the second one, first off, I hate on most occasions, I hate the hey, it's third and three. We're gonna throw the ball 60 yards down the field on
It was a
third and
punt.
three. It was
Yeah.
basically a punt. So, I mean, that one kind of is what it is. But yeah, like I mean, you can't turn the ball over. There's no question about that. He turned the ball over and Mahomes didn't. So certainly he's got to be better. Now, having said that, Joe Burrow made some plays in that game where you're just like, geez, man, that guy's so good.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, Joe Burrow is great. I mean, Joe Burrow is, I mean, I would not take Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes personally, but. He's not far down the list for sure. I'm just saying, Jared picks and chooses. This guy is not good. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is as good as Joe Burrow either, but Jalen Hurts has to get some credit too. Like it's not like any quarterback just plugs in that situation and they're where they are. I mean, the most
Agreed.
the teams that are most built like that. Because again, offensive line play, very important to invest in that. Not easy to get a great offensive line, but in both of those teams' cases, that's something they have along with elite skill. But it's still like you still have to perform at the position of quarterback to a certain extent. No, he keeps texting me about Burrow. No, Joe Burrow gets no criticism. He's perfect, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The fanboy, how much fanboying over different players can you do? Like there should be a cap on that. How about that? Let's put a cap on Jared's fanboying. That's a real cap.
Jared's film room, one half of it's on Brady, the other half of it's on Burrow. I love it. It's equal opportunity in there. Just a lot of they're Brady right here, Burrow over there. Loves them both of them.
Well, but constantly watching the Brady and Jordan documentaries, too. I mean, how many
Well,
screens
there's
do you
that
have in
too.
that film room?
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. We will also get into the tire fire that is known as the Indianapolis Colts as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lester on the text line says, I sure hope the Titans focus on getting the best available offensive lineman in the draft. Also sign a free agent offensive lineman veteran to support the young guys. Additionally, dump Dupree, Lawan, Woods, Cunningham, Swaim, and a few others. Always got to get Swaim in there, Joe. Swaiters are out.
The Swaiters are always lurking. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I thought maybe we'd go through a week not during football season, not talking about Jeff Swaim, and yet he always comes up. When will Cole Smith be brought up this week? The
Yeah.
Predators aren't playing, and yet I bet you he's brought
We might bring him up in the next hour. We'll see what happens
up.
on
That's a
that
good
front.
point.
Anthony the plumber on the text line says, so when we say elite, we're clearly talking about just passing. So elite scramble and running doesn't count towards quarterback eliteness. Eliteness is only measured by passing abilities, according to y'all. So Lamar isn't, but Josh is. Jalen isn't, but Joe, Brady, and Rodgers are. Patrick is the only exception. Funny how he's only half. Never mind. Like, if you're trying to insinuate that we don't think Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback because he's black, you can kindly pound sand. Get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I mean, look, you know, that says – first of all, I before you get to that aspect of it, I mean, I think it's fair to talk about if you're an elite point producer as a quarterback, that can be elite. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a different kind of quarterback for sure because he's had an offense that's built around running ability. That is more of a thing in the NFL than it's ever been. I mean, forever in the NFL, it was purely drop back – You know, drop back pocket quarterbacks. You know, you had like your Elways who were incredible runners too, but still, conventional wisdom is at some point in the playoffs, like you're going to play a defense good enough that you're going to be third and nine and you're going to have to, and they're going to hem you in, they're going to spy you, they're going to contain you in the pocket, and you're going to have to stand in that pocket and make plays. I think Lamar Jackson is very close to an elite quarterback. I mean, I think he's right now.
He won MVP.
He won MVP. And again, won MVP with tremendous passing stats. It's not just that he's a great runner, that the offense utilizes the quarterback run game a lot more than others do. But I mean, when it comes down to it in this league, and by the way, again, two black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl for the first time, which is a great thing. I mean, when it comes down to it in this league, I still think it's defenses are so fast, so good. Defensive coordinators are so good. It's going to come down to delivering the ball at times in the pocket in those situations. Maybe someone will blow that up, you know, and it can be more like college football where different kinds of offenses, you know, can win for you. And it's gotten more that way in the NFL, but, you know, it's still, I mean, ultimately Patrick Mahomes extends plays. And he does a lot of tremendous things, but it comes down to delivering that football downfield in this league.
Well, and Billy from Bellevue on the text line with an interesting question. He said, rank these quarterbacks, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, and Burrow. Like, to me, Joe, I think there's one, I think I'd put Mahomes one. I would put Burrow at two. And I think there's a gap after that. Like, we talked about the tier list for the quarterbacks last week. Like, I don't think Josh Allen is on the same tier as Mahomes and Burrow are. I just don't. You know, I don't know that I think Jalen Hurts is on the same tier as Mahomes and Burrow. Like, I think there's a gap after that.
So would you put Allen, Lamar Jackson? Well, it's so hard to do tiers because there's also, like, the boomer tier. You know, it's like – yes. Yeah, where do you put Brady right now? Where do you put Rodgers right now? Would you not have Rodgers on the top tier with Mahomes and Burrow right now?
I mean, the way he played this year, no. But the way that I know he can play, yes.
So it's like, I mean, you may be right. It may be fair to just say Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, and now let's go to a new tier. I'm not sure about that. I don't know, man. I still feel like Josh Allen – should be on that top tier. It's really interesting because, you know,
he turns the ball over too much.
He had more turnovers this year. He had a bad turnover year. And I think that he's another good example of the OC / QB coach with QB relationship is a big part of all these things that should not be underrated. You know, I mean, look, that's part of why, like with Mahomes, for example, I don't think Eric Bieniemy gets enough credit. You know, I mean, like these things, it's not just play calling. OC is a lot more than that. And I think Brian Daboll, who I think is pretty obvious is a good football coach, leaving has hurt Josh Allen, but I'm still not sold that he shouldn't be. But you could have this massive second tier, including the, you know, the geriatric quarterbacks who are still really good. And then, I don't know, does Jalen Hurts belong on that tier? I mean, it depends on how big the tier is. Where's Justin Herbert?
Yeah, it's a great question. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Joe from Spring Hill. Joe, thanks for calling in.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show. As far as Jalen Hurts being elite, I mean, we're going to find out in 60 minutes whether or not he's elite. His path to the Super Bowl was a little bit different. And we're looking at the landscape now in two conferences. That's one thing we really have to take into account. Like, for example, the Lamar Jackson story. There's no way Baltimore could ever sign Lamar Jackson. I mean, look at it, gentlemen. In the AFC, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Joe Burrow, you got Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, you got Trevor Lawrence with a quarterback whisperer as a head coach is going to do nothing but make him better. So at best, Lamar Jackson is what, the sixth best quarterback in that conference? Now over in the NFC, Jalen Hurts just was lucky enough to win a title game against a third and fourth string quarterback. So as far as the elite category goes, let's wait, as Bill Parcells would used to say, let's wait till we break out the anointing oils. And another thing is, when we come to any quarterback whose game is predicated on the run, it's always going to be a little bit different. Nothing wrong with that, but of course we know two things. Once they lose half a step, it's over. That's documented. That's the way it is. And on top of that, as you guys know, defensive coordinators in the NFL, that's no joke. Once the sample size gets a little bit, they can find any little quirk or idiosyncrasy where they can expose these guys in a matter of, you know, no time at all. As far as the Titans situation, what we got to do is we got to almost look at what Pete Carroll did last year. He drafted the two offensive linemen. He got a great draft. Both of those guys are solid studs. That's where we need to go in the draft, because when you have a defense that Vrabel's capable of being the architect, competitive in the AFC, because as one of you gentlemen alluded to, when it comes playoff time, you know, and me and my buddies joked about it, in week one in the wild card round, the unders went 1-5. Well, since that time, the unders are 6-0 since the divisional round and the two conference championship games. All the unders came in. So as you guys alluded to, we know defense is always going to step up in January. So with the Titans, I think anywhere, like you guys were saying, the second-tier quarterbacks would be a fine fit. You know, of course, we're not going to rehash them letting A.J. Brown go for a large cheese pizza and all that, because that's just, you know, horrible, horrible. Guys, I told
you. Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe.
It's been a while since I called the show. Love the show. Thanks so much for taking the call, and have a great day.
Yep, thanks for the call, Joe. I mean, look, as far as the Ravens part of that, like, I think that they would be idiots to not re-sign Lamar Jackson. Like, I just do. Like, I think he's – I mean, look, go look at his win-loss record. I think he's 37-12 without having it right in front of me. I think that's what it is. I can go back and double-check that, but I think he's 37-12. Like, I think they would be idiots to not re-sign Lamar Jackson. But that – what Joe brings up there is the fundamental question. Like, if you're not Kansas City and you're not Cincinnati – and you're not Buffalo or one of these teams where you feel like you absolutely have your franchise guy that can be your quarterback for the next 10, 15 years, what do you do and how do you compete with those guys in the AFC? Like, that's the fundamental question that I think a lot of people are asking. Now, some people think they have that guy. Like, we think Justin Herbert can be that guy. We'll see what happens on that front. I think Jacksonville believes that Trevor Lawrence can be that guy. I mean, there's a lot of people in the AFC that think they have their guy. I think in Cincinnati, they know they have their guy. And in Kansas City, obviously, they know they have their guy. And when you have to – in Buffalo, I think they know they have their guy too. Like, when you have to go through those three guys at the quarterback position, you have to be, if you're another team in the AFC, fundamentally asking yourself the question, how do we get through those three guys and get to the Super Bowl? Because unfortunately, in the AFC, if you're a team that's not the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Bills, those three guys aren't going anywhere. Joe's on mute. First mute of the day.
All right, hit that button. Well, with Baltimore, I'm with you. And that's the thing. We also always have the conversation about being great around a quarterback. And I understand, you know, I guess, you know, receivers were petrified of getting anywhere near Greg Roman, apparently. But however it came about, you know, they haven't had great receivers. And if all the shade being thrown at Greg Roman is fair, remotely fair, then I'm interested to see Lamar Jackson with a different OC. With a different OC and better receivers, they've had the good defenses around them for sure. I think they have a really good coach in John Harbaugh. They have that's a team that has they have an identity that they've had for a long time. They've kind of been able to maintain. It's kind of like the Steelers, not to the same level, but it's like, there's a certain baseline of sort of physical defensive football you expect from them. And that has been a part of all those wins. So, quarterback, the wins are not a QB stat, but it's still, you look at them with them, without them, look at the lack of weapons, look at if it's true that now, again, Greg Roman also gets a lot of praise for his run schemes, but can you get an OC who can bring more out of Lamar Jackson downfield? Again, give him better receivers. They haven't been able to keep a back healthy either, by the way.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson to me could, what it's going to require is it's going to require success in the postseason. Like that's, and that's fine. I mean, I think that's fair at some point with a QB. Like you gotta do it in January.
For sure.
But to me, he's their answer. They have their answer. But the Titans and most of these other teams, the Titans still have a better answer than a lot of teams, I think, with Tannehill. They have a good quarterback. Having a good quarterback is nothing to sneeze at in the NFL. But how much work needs to be done around him right now looks like a ton.
Joe, very quickly, the Indianapolis Colts still ongoing with their head coaching search. They're bringing in Brian Callahan, who is the OC for the Bengals, for his second interview. Whole lot of second interviews going on in Indianapolis. A whole lot of them.
This is the reporting and just the number of interviews and the number of amount of time in the interviews. Like, this is like 10 teams worth of interviews for a quarter, for a coach. Is this amazing. A strategy by Jim Irsay? Is Jim Irsay just like, let's just stay in the headlines, man. Let's just keep interviewing everybody. Why not? What are we doing? You guys are scouting players. I'm hanging out. I got my Jimi Hendrix 1967 guitar here. I can sit here all day and tell people my stories. It'll still probably be
Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, and then it comes all the way back to Saturday.
All this to end up with Jeff Saturday will be like the most amazing thing ever. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, and I love it here, and I'm victorious. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. I mean, I know it was some pro wrestling song, but like, enough.
Need to clip that up, that's for sure. Play that many times in the future.
Please
don't.
Would
be great.
No, what happens in the 6 o'clock hour is not clippable. That should be a rule on this show.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. A clip that never gets old to me coming in to lead us off on the Rex Rant here today. Joe Rexrode, I turn things over to you.
Yeah, it makes me think of, I'd like to thank Michelle, or Professor K as I call her, for having me talk to her class last night, her class at Middle Tennessee. And I wonder right now, maybe some of those students are like, he seemed like a real professional. Let me tune in to that show.
Oh, gosh.
let me hear what real professional behavior sounds like on the radio.
Yeah.
And then they hear that, But
In fairness, it would be gone way before that.
that's a good point. That is a good point. All right, today I'm going to talk about officiating in the NFL.
Okay.
So first of all, listening to the reaction yesterday. So listening to Chase and Michelle yesterday talk about the officiating earlier in their show, I actually sent them a video clip because the amazing thing about this is how subjective it all is. We all know this, but it's incredible what some people see when you're looking at the same thing and you're like, no, what are you talking about? So for example, Chase on the Joe Burrow grounding said, for one thing, he was out of the pocket. I'm like, Dude, he was like a foot to the left of center. Now, he was not at all out of the pocket. So I'm not just ranting about Chase being wrong. He was damn wrong about that. But the point is, it's all very subjective. I mean, I sent Michelle and Chase the video, and I'm like, first of all, not only was he in the pocket, he threw the ball to avoid a sack. So Chase made the comparison to the grounding of Patrick Mahomes, where he spiked it. The difference is Patrick Mahomes had a back in front of him. It was a screen. It was dead. He threw it down to the ground. That's fine. You're not about to be sacked. Joe Burrow was grounding. That's my opinion. I also think clearly the Joseph Asai penalty was right. Apparently Jared doesn't. Of course Jared had that take. That was a bad call.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't.
Yeah, okay. But regardless, we can go through this whole game. And I certainly agree that, like, they missed a block in the back. If you were on Twitter yesterday, I think it was Joe Staley. So the holding on the Mahomes play, there were two what looked like, and I agree, like, in real time, like, ooh, that looked like holes. He went on this whole Twitter thing yesterday about, you don't know anything about offensive line play. These are not at all holes. Okay. It's all subjective. Bottom line is, it wasn't good enough. We can all agree on that, right?
Yes.
It wasn't good enough, and it needs to not be a story in a game like this. Like, the officiating needs to not be a story. Now, let me say another thing about that. For anybody who's saying, and I've seen this too, I don't want the officials to be part of the story and make a call like that late in the game. I'll say this to you. Okay, so don't blow the whistle on an obvious roughing out of bounds, so you are still being involved in the game by not making an obvious call. You have to make the correct call at all times of every game, period, okay? But we can still – there's all the debating about this. There's a lot of subjectivity. I think we can all agree it needs to get better. What we need to not spend – waste any more time on is the stupid conspiracy crap, because it does not matter. Oh, the NFL wanted Andy Reid. The NFL wanted the Kelce Bowl. NFL making money hand over fist regardless of who the hell's in the Super Bowl. They are doing great, okay? So the last thing you would do when your product is doing this well is to undercut your product by conspiring for certain teams to win games. No, you have a great product. You make an incredible amount of money. Any Super Bowl combination, I don't care. Put the Arizona Cardinals and the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl. It's the biggest sporting event in the world. It's the biggest ratings on TV. Done. Okay. And that's a great thing about the NFL. You should actually, as an NFL fan, feel pretty assured that it's not fixed, okay? But here's the thing. Part of that is also the revenue, which Sportico reported $11 billion in revenue generated in 21. Roger Goodell has been on record as saying $25 billion in revenue planned or a target goal by 2027. Think about those numbers. You know what those numbers say to me, among other things? This officiating setup they have is an absolute joke. And it's worse in college sports to me, because it's like, here, come officiate my game for $1,000 a game. But the reported average salary of NFL officials, $205,000 a year, that's good money. That's really good money. But considering the power they have to determine the outcomes of games, and considering that gamblers understand that, they have to be paid a lot more. They're not full-time employees, because in the 2019 CBA, that got spiked. They had gotten to 20% full-time. They are now 0% full-time. They need to be 100% full-time. They need to be year-round devoted to this job. They still have, like, jobs from May to the season, a lot of them. And look, that money is, I know, for the average person, it sounds amazing. Of course it does. But the power these people have to dictate the outcomes of these games that bring such revenue, that have such eyeballs on them, they have to be compensated accordingly. And they have to be held accountable accordingly. As we've talked about a million times, they need to talk after games. We need to know the punishment. We need to know who was punished and why that person was punished. And that all needs to be changed dramatically. And if you're going to get to $25 billion in revenue, you're telling me you can't pay officials $500,000 a year and employ them full time? Seriously? Think of the drop of the bucket that is compared to the impact they have on your product. Do you like people talking about conspiracies? They're going to talk about conspiracies no matter what. But in a game like this, all people are talking about is the officiating right now. you have to change it and you have to invest in it. And there's absolutely no excuse for not investing in it other than when you get to CBA time. You know, it's obviously the players trying to get every little bit they can. Totally understand that. Owners trying to keep every little bit they can. They have to come together and realize that if you don't invest in this, don't bitch about it anymore, because you are allowing your product to be less than it should be.
I agree. And I thought Willie Donick brought up a really good point yesterday, and I don't know exactly how you do it, because it's never going to be as, you know, obviously as much of an incentive as the big TV deals that former players are getting now. Now, also keeping in mind, the former players getting the big TV deals are basically quarterbacks that used to be in the game, and it's a very small number of people. But, like, finding a way to incentivize former players maybe quickly after they're done playing football to become officials, it's a tough job. You get yelled at a lot, but it's also better than having, like, some 72-year-old man trying to keep up with the best athlete in the world out there and make calls. Like, they need to do – especially in the National Football League, they need to try to incentivize more former players getting out there and learning what it takes to become officials. I think it's a great idea.
That's an interesting point. Brady having people throw tomatoes at him as he runs off in his little officiating uniform. I'm all for that. No, that's
Bray Bull's a ref.
Just out there putting people in headlocks.
He would throw those flags all over the place.
He'd be throwing them right at people's faces, you know, like just, yeah. No, but you have to, I mean, you have to have, like you do, you have to have, frankly, probably younger people, you know, in these roles for the most part. I mean, again, I don't want to discriminate against old people as an old person, but like you got to be able to run with these people. And again, this has to be a year round thing to be better. And I know that they can be better. Humans are always going to make errors, but they can be better than this.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. We'll also get his thoughts on the Predators as well, as they are in the middle of their bye week / all-star break that is taking place. They'll be back coming up on February the 7th. Gentry Estes coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.